Welcome into the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, with some bad news about the state of professional baseball in Colorado. And yes, this is a Rockies podcast, so no, I'm not talking about the Rockies. It's worse than that in many ways, because we'll still have the Rockies next year. Bud Black in the news previewing the upcoming Padres series and talking about two former Rockies on this date in Rockies history. But an article from over the weekend written by Bob Nightingale about the five fired managers this season, the fired five, if you will. And naturally, there was a section on Bud Black. Bud Black was actually featured throughout this article as he provided Nightingale some quotes on the other four much younger managers that were let go or that have moved on this season. But Bud Black, who, if you know Bud Black, if you've been following this team close enough, or if you know you've even been listening to the Drew Goodman podcast, at the end of every season, Buddy will drive from his home in Denver back to San Diego County, where he lives during the off season and where he calls his home, and pretty much the morning after he was let go, so the day after Mother's Day, he just packed up his car and went home, had a lot of his items from the office shipped to him, but made that drive as he did, and the response that he got was the best possible response I think you could get. We don't know what the responses were like for the other four that ended up getting cast aside by their teams, but we do know what happened in Bud Black's case, and it honestly couldn't be any better. You get released from your job, you get let go, and you don't know if you're going to have another opportunity in the majors. There's only 30 big league managerial jobs. Not clear if Bud Black will ever be a manager again. Does he want to be a manager again? I'll talk about that in a second. But the response that he got was pretty awesome, because everyone from Hall of Famer George Brett to Jamie Quirk, Mark Gubiza, everyone that was with the Kansas City Royals who won the 1985 World Series all reached out to him to say, "Hey, so sorry you got let go, but guess what? You're coming to the reunion now. Get your butt to Kansas City. It's the 30th anniversary." And it was awesome. But he said, quote, "Here I am taking a therapeutic drive and everyone's telling me it's good news because now I can come to the reunion. You know how it is. Guys are hardened by this, especially your longtime friends. They're not as sensitive as others are. But I also think that's an awesome thing to hear when you need it, of like, you know what? This kind of stuff's going to happen. Move on, like get over it sooner than later, because we got some fun, we got some good times to come." So that probably helps speed things up. Maybe you don't necessarily want to get that the first day when you're trying to process everything, especially after getting the vote of confidence. At least Bill Schmidt gave him a vote of confidence to Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post the day before that decision was made, or really a few hours before the awful 21-0 drubbing on Mother's Day Eve there. So it was rough, but I'm glad that everybody picked Buddy up throughout that 16-hour drive back to San Diego. And, Buddy, is he going to manage again? I don't know. He'd love to. He really would. But if that doesn't come to fruition, despite being 68 years old, he would still love to be a coach. I mean, look at Clint Hurdle, who's by far no spring chicken, but he is someone who embraced an opportunity to get back onto the field. First as, he was the hitting coach first, and then he became the bench coach for Warren Schaefer. So he got that opportunity to get back in the dugout. Is this an extreme circumstance? Because we're talking about the Rockies, we're talking about an all-time bad season for this franchise in baseball history, period. But still, those opportunities can and will come up. So is it impossible? Definitely not. Definitely not impossible for Bud Black to get himself back. Maybe he does need to take a job as a special assistant to a GM somewhere. Kansas City would probably be, you know, a good spot for him for the time being before something does open up in a dugout. But back home with his wife, Nan, enjoying his two daughters, his grandchildren. So it was nice to see that over the weekend. In fact, my friend Renee Deckert forwarded that to me. I totally missed it, or I didn't see it in time, and she sent it our way, and I appreciated that because that was a cool one. That was a fun article. What was not fun was to get a notification directly from the Pioneer League notifying me that the Northern Colorado Owls were no longer going to be a baseball team. That was earlier on in the year, but maybe even much sadder because the Northern Colorado Owls don't have much history in Colorado. Only a handful of seasons were previously the Orem Owls. They were an Angels affiliate more recently. But it was news that the Grand Junction Jackalopes, team on the Western Slope, formerly the Grand Junction Rockies, were going to relocate somewhere for the 2026 season. 2026 Pioneer League season. I caught myself because I almost said minor league season. The Grand Junction Jackalopes, the former Northern Colorado Owls, they are not a minor league team in the proper sense of minor league baseball. You can call them that, but the next step beyond the minors we usually think is the majors, and a lot of these independent baseball leagues that are not affiliated, they're not attached or associated with any team, any major league team. It's one of the reasons why Grand Junction had to remove the name Rockies because they were not affiliated with Major League Baseball at all. That's why they had to change their name. So to call this a minor league, sure, in the broadest sense, but a good majority of the players in these independent leagues never make it back to the majors, never make it to the majors. In fact, I would argue that for every player that does play in an independent league and makes it to the majors, about half of them are former big leaguers, are former notable prospects that came out of the affiliated system and then came back. Usually you don't go undrafted and have to play for $57 a week and pay your own way, no insurance or limited insurance. I don't know what each individual league does. Certainly not have any in the off season. Pay your way, get an off season job, and then you make it to the majors. That just doesn't happen. It's very, very rare. Very, very rare. Dugan Darnell is one of the best examples, most recent examples, and one of the only examples of something like that happening. So right now, man, the state of Colorado is really hurting. And you do have to wonder how much this may have to do with the Colorado Rockies. I don't know. I'm not saying that the Rockies are so bad it's killing off baseball in other communities in our state. I'm not saying that. But if you were to try to make that case because of some of the interest in baseball that has waned because of how bad the Rockies have been, and you say, is there going to be a trickle-down effect to that, you know, in communities outside of Denver, like Windsor, Colorado, near Fort Collins, where the Northern Colorado Owls operated, or on the Western Slope in Grand Junction? Could be. The Owls resigned as a team this summer after having various legal issues, financial issues with the city of Windsor. They basically folded. No, they did. They resigned as a team. They folded. And immediately in their ashes, I don't know how this came together, but a second team in Colorado Springs started up. Rocky Mountain vibes are there. But a second team started up calling itself the Colorado Springs Sky Sox. So it remains to be seen if the Springs are going to continue to run two teams out of the Pioneer League. I would think not, but maybe. Maybe it's possible. The Springs used to get some really good crowds for a while there. I mean, it's not a major city, but it is a major minor league city. So they might be able to do that. I don't know. I would think probably not. Can another community in Colorado possibly grab the Grand Junction Jackalopes? I don't know. Someone on Blue Sky asked me, you know, how many pro teams are there in Colorado? And yes, there are the Rockies. Yes, there are the Rocky Mountain Vibes. We'll see about this new version of the Sky Sox. And there's also one more. There's also one more professional team in the Pecos League. It's the Trinidad Triggers. Trinidad, not a notable Colorado city with a ton of people, but it's become a baseball town. You know, Santa Fe has a team also in the Pecos League. So an interesting footprint by the Pecos League, trying to survive, trying to get things together, play at, you know, various quality ballparks. Check that out if you are interested. And I believe their season is already over. But nevertheless, yeah, there's pro ball in Trinidad. And when I say pro, all you have to do is get paid for something and be considered a pro. There was a period of time where I was a professional improvisational comedian, where I was on stage at the Boulder Theater. I don't know if I've ever shared this on the podcast. But like, you know, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Doing stuff like that. One of the traveling troops from Second City in Chicago came to perform. And then once they were done with their set, they called myself and some of the other performers when I lived in Boulder, the Boulder Improv Collaborative, BIC. I think they still do put on some performances here and there. We went on stage and it felt like there was a million people there. Wasn't exactly 1,000. I guess it's 800 plus that the Boulder Theater can hold. And boy, oh boy, were my legs shaking. But it was fun. It was a cool thing. And, you know, performed at the Dairy Arts Center there in Boulder and was paid to perform, you know, a couple times here and there. Wasn't life-changing money, but it was good money. So yeah, I could have said I was professional because it was no longer a hobby at that point. I was no longer putting money in. I was getting more money out than I was putting in. So that made me professional for a period of time. So look, that it's not because I'm not saying this to discredit anyone, but it's a very loose term, professional, right? When it comes to professional sports, because normally when we think of professional sports, we think about the big leagues, right? The major leagues. And then there's a league or two beneath that. And sometimes a league or two in other countries or on other continents. But, you know, with baseball, it's pretty abrupt. Either you get drafted or signed as an international free agent and you go into the minor league system and you make it to the majors, or that's it. Beyond that, you know, you're playing for peanuts and you're not really getting paid, but you are keeping yourself fresh and you are keeping alive those hopes and you might get another opportunity somewhere else. Or for some of these guys, they never did get an opportunity because they never even got drafted. Because now the draft's only 20 rounds. That's it. So there is a place for leagues like this. There's the American Association is still running strong. Minnesota, Nebraska. There was rumor that a team in Denver was going to pop up. The Atlantic League is a really good one in the Northeast. So there are really quality professional leagues, not summer collegiate leagues. That's different. Like Cape Cod League, that's not a professional league. It's a summer collegiate league. Those are all college players. But you know, you can do independent. You could do it well, and you could do it well enough that back when minor league baseball went from having 160 teams down to 120, there wasn't 40 teams that were wiped off the map. It was 43 because three independent league teams came into minor league baseball. The Sugarland Skeeters, the St. Paul Saints, and the Somerset Patriots. And, you know, I'm getting off topic just a little bit, but there, you know, it's sad to see this. It's sad to see baseball in Colorado go this route and to take this turn, because I think that community in Grand Junction really loved the Grand Junction Rockies playing at Sam Splizio Field. You know, they were grateful when they first got the team back in 2011. The history of Grand Junction baseball, I can't say that it starts in 1978, but the franchise, the Butte Copper Kings in Montana, they started in 1978. Cecil Fielder played for them. It was 2001 when they started moving south. 2001, Rockies got themselves a team in Casper in the short season rookie advanced affiliate, a league that no longer exists. But they were the Casper Rockies. From 2008 to 2011, they were the Casper Ghosts, the heralded Casper Ghosts. Why isn't there more merchandise made with Casper Ghosts out of it? You're going to make so much money. I would buy a lot of that stuff. I think I might even be able to wear that at the ballpark because it's a team that doesn't exist anymore. You're not allowed to wear the home team, visiting team, any of that, right? Because you have to be an unbiased journalist. But Casper Ghosts, they don't exist. They're nothing. I would rock that at the ballpark. So the Monforts end up buying the Casper Ghost, moves the team to Grand Junction. Lots of great players come through Grand Junction. And then 2020, there was no minor league season because of the pandemic, but the Grand Junction Rockies still did exist. 2021, Major League Baseball makes that decision, as I said, to remove 43 affiliated baseball teams. The entire Pioneer League was taken off the map in terms of affiliated baseball. So pretty much from Boise all the way to Wichita, there's just no minor league affiliated baseball other than Salt Lake City. That's it. Other than Albuquerque, maybe in there, in that region just a little bit. All of Montana, just done. That's it. So 2023, because they were no longer with Major League Baseball, they had to rename. That's where they became the Grand Junction Jackalopes. And then last season, I believe I did mention this on the pod, they took up the nickname the Humpback Chubbs, which was something that was reported in the late 2010s as a possible nickname. So Wednesdays in Grand Junction, they were the Humpback Chubbs. All right, I got to get to this preview of the Padres series, but want to wish a happy birthday to Larry Bernith. I did not know this name. This was another thing on my spreadsheet where it's on there, and I go, why is Larry Bernith, whose name I don't know, and who was a pitcher with the Mets from 1963 to 1966 and the Brewers in 1971, why is he on my spreadsheet? He was the first ever Rockies pitching coach. I don't know this name. He was the pitching coach, in fact, from 93 to 95, wore number 36, and if you have a Larry Bernith number 36 jersey, Rockies jersey, and you meet me, I will buy you a beer or a drink of your choice. That is the Patrick Lyons guarantee. Even before he became the first Rockies pitching coach, he was actually hired by the Rockies in 92 to go around and scout and help with the expansion draft, which is pretty cool, right? Hey, you'll carry it over. These are going to be the guys that you end up working with, so you might as well help us pick this team. Once he left Colorado, he served as a coach or scout for the Tigers for a few years, was close friends with the Rockies' original GM, Bob Gebhardt. Fortunately, Larry Bernith did die in 2021. Also, on this date, September 11th, 2011, Drew Pomeranz debuted. Drew Pomeranz, the guy who started a game for the Cubs on Sunday. He was the opener, but hey, it still counts. You got to count it. Do you realize Drew Pomeranz has earned over $50 million in his career? He was one of the bigger pieces that came over from Cleveland in 2011 in that Ubaldo Jimenez trade. And it got me thinking, is he the last Rocky still active from the 2011 team? Now, keep in mind, if you played every season from 2011 until now, that would be 15 years in the majors. Charlie Blackmon debuted also in 2011, just retired last year. Now, Chuck did play 14 seasons, Drew only 12, a lot of that having to do with injuries. Actually hadn't appeared in the majors since 2021 before he debuted with the Cubs this season. Who else was on that 2011 team still active in the game? Well, I mean, Jordan Pacheco is still active in the game. He very may well have even caught him when Pomeranz was pitching. Pacheco, now the co-hitting coach for the Rockies. Do you remember the name of the infielder, Hector Gomez? Guess what? I didn't either. He played 2 games, 7 plate appearances as a 23-year-old. He did play indie ball last year, speaking of independence, with the Long Island Ducks of the Atlantic League. He had last played affiliated ball in 2018 and was mostly just playing winter ball before that stint with the Ducks last season. Also should point out that William Rosario debuted back in 2011 when he was 22 years old, same age as Pomerantz. Pomerantz still playing. Rosario done in the majors in 2015. One, a left-hander, Drew Pomerantz. William Rosario, catcher. That's the shelf life of those positions. A lefty is going to last a lot longer and get many more opportunities than a catcher. Should also note, on that same day, September 11th, 2011, infielder Thomas Field also made his major league debut. How many games have the Rockies debuted two players? The answer is I don't know. I don't know how to look everything up. I didn't look that one up. But if you've got the answer, I'll also buy you a beverage of your choice. Let's get to this Padres series starting today on Thursday, September 11th. It's also been 403 days since the Rockies have scored a run in San Diego. Do you realize that? Yeah, of course. They didn't score any runs in that opening series in April. Their last time scoring a run was August 4th, 2024. Over a year since the Rockies have scored a run at Petco. Probables for this weekend, I could see this end up changing. McCade Brown versus Randy Vasquez on Thursday. Tanner Gordon versus Dylan Cease, a rematch of Sunday's matchup. So Saturday and Sunday, we're going to run those two back. Saturday, it should have been Chase Dolander, but from everything coming out of Rockies camp, probably not happening against Yu Darvish. Not sure right now what they're going to end up doing. I really do think Gabriel Hughes is going to make his debut. Is it going to be now? Could it just be for one start? I'm okay with it if it's for one start. Rockies got to figure out a couple things. They do get a day off on Monday, so that's going to help them out in a big way. And then on Sunday, the series finale, Herman Marquez against Michael King at Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and the Rockies Insider channel on YouTube. Help me out. Hit me up. Social media, YouTube page. Love that momentum you've provided me. I can feel it through the podcast waves, as always. But that kind of momentum that you've provided me here with today, unfortunately, it's only as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.